Today's shiur is a Masechet Zvachim on Daf Tzadik Hey. We will begin with the Mishnah towards the bottom of Daf Tzadik Dalet Amid Beis. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us review some of the psukim that we have learned in the last Daf. We begin with Vayikra Perik Vav Pasuk Chav, Vaasher Yizeh Midomo Al HaBeged, Asher So the Torah tells us that if blood, dam chatas, splatters on a beged, then that beged has to be washed and cleaned in a makom kadosh, which refers to the azara. The next pasuk, Chaf Aleph, states, v'kli cheres asher tevushal boy yishaver. In a kli cheres, a keli made out of earthenware, if the chatas is cooked in that keli, then it requires that the keli is broken. And the pasuk continues, v'im b'klin the chayshes bushala, and if it was cooked in a metal keli, in a copper keli, then the halach is, u'moyrak v'shutaf b'moyim. Then it has to be purged with hot water and rinsed out with water. And although concerning the klicheres and the klina chayshes, the pasuk does not say distinctly, befeirish, that it has to be done by makom kadosh, but we learned in yesterday's daf that the same halacha that we find mefurish by the beged, that it has to be cleaned by makom kadosh, so too the breaking of the klicheres and the marika and shtifa b'mayim of the klina chayshes, that has to be done likewise in a makom kadosh in the azara. Begins the Mishnah. Beged sheyotza chutz l'kloyim, if a beged, which has on it, as Rashi tells us, the dam chata splattered on it, and it has to be cleaned, but it was taken out outside of the azara. Kloyim is a reference to the Mishkan, where there were curtains in the area that in the second and first base of Mikdash was called the Azara. We had this earlier in the Masechta, but the Kloyim refers to the Azara. So if a beged was taken outside of the Azara, so the halacha is, Nichnas, he has to bring the beged back into the Makom Kadosh, u'mechapsei b'makom kadosh, and he cleans the beged from the dam in a makom kadosh in the azara. But what happens if while it was outside, nitma, it became tamei chutz l'kloyim, so now he's not able anymore to bring it right back into the azara, because you're not allowed to bring anything tamei into the azara. And the achronim explain, the Sos Emes and others, that there's no eitzah to put it into a mikveh, to be metarit from the tumah, because we are worried that when it goes to the mikveh will take off some of the dam. And the Torah, as we learned in Vayikra, Perek Vav Pasuk Chav, states that it should be techabes b'makom kadosh, that it should be totally cleaned in the azara. Here, some of the dam will be cleaned off, we are worried, chutz from the azara. So what should the person do? So the halacha is kairai. He tears the beged, and as a result of tearing it, the tumah goes away, and then the shita puts in a vav, v'nichnas, he enters, once the tumah is off the beged, he enters into the azara, u'mechapseh b'makom kadosh, and he cleans it, he washes it and cleans it in makom kadosh. Now we go to klicheres. Klicheres, if a klicheres, in which the chatas was cooked, and halach is that it has to be broken in the azara, but it was taken outside of the azara. So the din is, if it's not tameh, if it's tahar, nichnas, he brings it back into the azara, v'shoiver, and he breaks it, b'makom kadosh. As we learned in the pasuk, that's the halacha by a klicheres, which shtifa and Marika does not help to take out the blia of the chatas that is within the walls of the keli. Rather, it has to be broken, and this should be done only in the azara, so he has to bring it back into the azara. But what happens if while it was outside of the Azor it became Tamei, Nitma Chutz L'Kloyim, so then the Halach is Noikvoy, he makes a hole in it. And that hole takes away the Tumah of the Klicheres. And then V'nichnas, he enters into the Azor. He brings the Klicheres back into the Azora once the Tumah has left the Keli, V'shoyver B'makom Kaddish, and he does the Halach as it's stated in the Torah, there in Vayikra Vav Pasuk Chaf Aleph, that he breaks it in the Azor. And then we go to the last halacha mentioned there in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, which has to do with the Kli Nechoshes, that if you have a copper vessel, Sheyotzeh Chutz L'Kloyim, it went outside of the Kloyim, so if it's Tahar, Nichnas, he brings it back into the Azara, Umorka, he purges it, V'shaitvay, and he rinses it, B'makom Kaddish, in the Azara. Nitma Chutz L'Kloyim, what happens if it became tummy outside of the Kloyim? So then it doesn't help, as Rashi tells us, to make a Nekev, as was the case by Klicheres, which would remove the Tumah, because a small Nekev does not take away the Tumah from a Kli Mateches, from a metal Keli, such as a Kli Nechoshes. Then the Halach is Poichsoi. He makes a larger hole in the Kli Nechoshes, and then V'nichnas, he enters, once the Tumah has gone away from the big hole, and now the Keli is tor, he enters into the Azor, Umarka V'shaitvay, and he purges it, and he rinses it, B'makom Kaddish, in the Azor. Maskivlo Ravina, so Ravina had a kasha on the Mishnah, Kairoi, you're telling me that if a beged had dumb splattered on it, so the halacha is that if it became Tomei outside of the Kloyim, he first has to tear the Beged, and then he brings the Beged back into the Azora and does kibbutz on it there. But that can't be, because Beged Amrachmana, as we mentioned from the Pasuk in Vayikra, the Pasuk says, Vasher Yizeh Midoma Al HaBeged. And the Pasuk concludes, Vasher Yizeh Aleha, which is referring back to that Beged, the dumb that is splattered on it, on the beged, techabis b'makom kaddish, that beged has to be cleaned in a makom kaddish. So the Torah requires beged, and the Gemara says v'lav beged hu. Once you have torn it, it loses its status of a beged. So how can you clean a beged b'makom kaddish by removing the tumma, by tearing the beged? Einichnami, you've removed the tumma, but not only have you removed the tumma, you removed the shame beged as well. So the Gemara answers, no, you're able to remove the tumma, and yet the shame beged remains. How? The mishayir be'kidei moiferes, that he leaves, he cuts it, not totally, Rashi says, into two parts, but he leaves a width of a sudur, of a handkerchief, of a kerchief, and as a result, by tearing it to such an extent, by tearing roiv of it to such an extent, he removes the tumah. But since he left over the amount of a sudur, which you're able to connect the two pieces together, so the shame beged remains on it, Rashi says, and it's not considered that if he would now, for example, sew it up, that it would be making a new beged, but rather the shame beged never left, since you left over a sudur, so memela, the shame beged never left. And that's why you can now bring it back into the Azora and be mechabes the beged in a makom kaddish. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that so? It's not true. Va'amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, Loi shana, when do we say? And Rashi brings down that this is found in Chul, Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis. When do we say that a talis that is tamei, that if you tear it, it can lose its tumah and it can come to tahara through the tearing? That's only if there was not left Ela Shaloi Shir Ba Kidei Moiferes. That's only if less than a sudur was left. Avo Shir Ba Kidei Moiferes Chibur Havi. But if in fact you left a sudur in the width, then it's considered that the tumah never left. And once the tumah never left, then you're not allowed to bring it into the Azara to be mechabes it. So our question comes back. answers the Gemara as we go to Daf Tzadik Hey Amid Aleph Midrabbanan, who that halacha of Rav Huna, that you have to tear it even more than leaving a Suddar. You have to not leave a Suddar. That's only a Dinder Rabbanan, as Rashi says, because it's a Gzeira. Maybe if I allow him to leave over a Suddar, he will not tear Roiv of it. And that's why the Rabbanan insisted that he has to tear it so much that he doesn't even leave over a Suddar. But that's only on a Rabbanan level. And here, where if we would institute what the Rabbanan are saying, it would come out, we would be unable to be mechabes this beged in a Makom Kaddish, because by tearing it even more than a Suddar's worth, that there would not be left a Suddar's worth of the beged, then it would in fact not only become tor, but it wouldn't be a beged anymore. And then I would not be able to mekayim the mitzvah of being mechabes a beged b'makom kodesh. So here the Rabbanan did not institute their gzera in this case, so that the din d'oraisa could be mekuyim. So the din d'oraisa remains that if he tore it up till a Suddar, he tore a roiv of the beged, the tumah leaves, but since there's a Suddar left, it's still called a beged on a deraisa level, and the Rabbanan on a deraisa level, and the Rabbanan did not institute their takana, and therefore he can go back into the Azorah and be mechabes the beged b'makom kodesh. Continues the Gemara with the next case in the Mishnah, kli cheres sheyotza, if a kli cheres went outside of the Azorah, the chulu, and the Gemara now is referring to the second case of kli cheres, which is that the kli cheres became tame. So first I have to remove the tumah. How do I remove the tumah? By making a nekev in it, ask the Gemara, and the Shita puts in the word here, naikvoi, with a question mark, naikvoi. You're telling me in the Mishnah that you have to make a nekev in it? Kli amarachmana v'loi klihu. We have the same type of question as we had concerning Beged. Because what did it say in Vayikravov, Pasuk Chof Aleph? Ukli cheres asher tevushal boy yishavar. If a kli cheres, the chatos was cooked in it, in that kli, so that kli has to be broken. So the Torah is insisting that a kli is broken, but once you've made a nekev in it, in order to get rid of the tumah, l'chayra, not only are you rid of the tumah, you're also rid of the shame keli. So how can you be mekayim the mitzvah of the keli should be yeshavar in a makom kadosh? The Gemara answers according to the way we have the girsa here in the Gemara. Shenikav b'shoyrish katan. He made a hole in which you could fit a small root. So that small hole apparently is enough to take away the din tumah, but it's still called a keli, it can still hold things, and therefore you can then bring it back into the Azorah and be shaver that keli. It still has a shame keli on it. If you look in this large, long Tosfos here, in the 10th of the very wide lines, actually begins the last word on the 9th line, after it gets very wide, says Tosfos, Uktsas Tema. Mashach ba'isa shir the shorish katan linyan taharas kli. Sha'isa shir hu linyan hechshir zroim b'soif ha-matzniya. So Taisa says, we don't find this shir of a shorish katan, of making a hole of a shorish katan, enabling us to be matar a keli that became tami. We find the legabi a different halacha of hechshir zroim. So Taisa says that there's a different shir. V'ima kli miyuchad la'oichlen shiore b'zesim. Avo b'sharish katan loy, v'imu miyuchel l'mashkin, shiuray kekaynes mashkin. So Taisus says that l'chayru, the shear to get rid of the tumah, if it's for mashkin, would be that if there's a hole where liquids can enter, so that means that it is no longer tamei, it would become tor, but if it could still hold in its zesim, it would still have a shame kli as far as bringing it back into the Azorah to be mechabes, to break the kli cheres in the Makom Kaddish. If you look in Rashi, Divrei HaMaskil, the Ratzav Le'Mertzav, it appears that Rashi did not have the gears of Shenikav B'Shorish Katan in the Rashi, and that's why Rashi in the middle there adds, V'gabe kli cheres, ikol ha'meimer, denikvoi, The Nikva de Masnisin, here it says, B'moitzi Mashkel Atar, on the side, the Masar Shashatz brings down the Tzoyin Kodeshim that says that it should be B'koines Mashke, as Tosfos said, V'adayin Kalihu L'kabel Zesim. So in other words, it's still a keli because it can hold olives in it. But the Tumah has gone away because I've made a neck of, not as we have the gears in our Gemara, of a Shirish cotton, because that, Tosfos said, is not something that removes Tumah. It's a different halach of Hechsher's Roin, which we find in Shabbos Taf Tzadik Hamid Beis. And therefore, Rashi doesn't have it as a gears in our Gemara. Rashi seems to suggest it on his own, that what would be Matar de Keli would be a nekev that would let in mashkin, would let in liquids. And yet it's considered a Keli because it can still hold within it olives, and therefore you can then go into the Makom Kaddish and break it. Continues the Gemara, the final halach of our Mishnah, clean the Chayshes. We said that if you took it outside of the Azara and then it became Tomei, it's not enough to make a neck of cotton, of a shayrish cotton, or of machnes mashke, as we just mentioned from Rashi. That's not sufficient, but you need a large hole. Ask the Gemara, what are you telling me, poichsoi, that you make a large hole? Volav klihu, once you've made the large hole, then the klina choish is no longer a keli, and we have to take that klina choish back into the Azara and make Marika and Shtifa, but you need to have a Keli. And if you had a big hole to get rid of the Tumah, you have no longer a Keli to do Marika and Shtifa on. The Gemara answers the Ratzav Mirtzav, that what he did is he took a hammer, and with a hammer, he banged away at that opening, and he brought the metal together, and apparently, he brings back the name of a Kli, but the Tumah doesn't come back with it. The Tumah, once there was a hole, the Tumah went away. And now he forms a new Keli, and that is what he is making Marikin Shtifa on when he brings it back into the Azara. Amar Rish Lakish, says Rish Lakish, Me'il Shenitma, if we have the Me'il, which was one of the begadim of the Kayin Gadol, if it became Tamei outside of the Azara, and it has the Dam Chatas splattered on it. So Machnisoi, he brings it in. The Pachas Mishalash Al Shalash, he has to bring in one piece at a time of the Me'il, less than 3 by 3 fingers, a square of 3 fingers by length, 3 fingers by width, umechapsoi, then he cleans it, he washes it in the Azara, and the Gemara now explains, why does he have to do this, why can't he just tear it, as we learned in our Mishnah, by a baggage you could tear? So the answer is, because, mishum shenamar, lo yikarei, that a baggage, a me'il, one of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol can't be torn. So there's no eitzah. So to bring it into a mikveh outside, as we explained before, you can't do, because that might take some of the dam off outside of the Azara. And you have to take off all the dam in the Azara. To tear it, as we had in the Mishnah, the eitzah to get rid of the tum is no eitzah by the me'il, because by the me'il, the halacha is lo yikareya. You're not allowed to tear the me'il. So therefore, the only eitzah is that you bring it in less than 3 by 3, which is less than the shame beged, and therefore there is no problem with bringing in something tamei into the Azara. So therefore your eitz is to bring it in less than the shear that would be called a beged. Now, Tosfos here in Divrei HaMaskil, the second bottom Tosfos, Machnisei Pachas Mishalash. So Tosfos says that even though we have a Mandi Omar and Daf Lamed Beis Omed Beis earlier in the Masechta that says Bia B'miksa Shma Bia, that if a person, for example, puts his hand into the Azara, it's as if he has entered his whole body into the Azara. So l'chayra here, if he brings in part of the me'il, less than shalosh al shalosh, it should be considered as if the whole me'il went in, and the whole me'il is tamei. So what does this eitzah help you by bringing in less than 3x3? So Tosfos says that that's only by a body part. Mashiach came over here by a beged. Since you're able to cut the beged, you're able to cut this piece that's less than 3x3 from the rest of the beged, loy chashiv kilu nichnas kulay. That then, even according to Man Yomer, the bia b'miksa shema bia, it's not considered here as if he has brought in the entire me'il into the azara. Ask the Gemara, Moisur of Adabar Ava, we learn to Ovent that if you have a beged that's very thick, for harachim, or you have a beged, Rashi says, that's not woven. There's no ariga. It's very soft. So, ein b'mishum sholosh al sholosh. It does not have the halacha of 3x3. That if it's less than 3x3, it's not a beged. And if it's 3x3, it is a beged. But rather, as Rashi speaks out, it has the shear of shloisha al shloisha tfachim. And what is the difference, explains Rashi? Because if it is a regular material that's neither thick or soft, so then it can be used as a beged or as a patch to a beged. So it has a shem beged on it if it's 3x3 fingers in length and in width. Mashi ain't can if it's very thick or it's very soft. Then it can't be used as a beged or as a patch to a beged. Then it can only be used as something to sit on, a mat. And therefore, the shear of a mat is a larger shear. If it's 3x3 tvachim, then it's considered a mat. If it's less than 3x3 tvachim, it's not considered a mat. So what the Gemara is asking, what Rav Adabar Ava is asking, is since Rashi brings down the Gemara in Yuma, the fine Aleph Amid Beis, that the me'il was made from a thread which was Kafel Shnei Master, it had in that one thread 12 other threads together constituted that one thread. So Mimela, this is a thick garment. If it's a thick garment, it has a shear of 3x3 tvachim. So why are you saying that the only way he can bring in pieces of the mill, one part at a time of the mill of less than 3x3 its boys, it should be he's able to bring in piece by piece different sections of the mill less than 3x3 tvachim, because this has a shear not of a beged, it has a shear of something to sit on, and there the shear is 3x3 tvachim. Answers the Gemara, when do you have the shear of 3x3 tvachim? That's only if this thick item is separate. But over here, it's part of a larger beged. Answers the Gemara, Agav Avien Chashive, since it's connected to an entire beged, then even though it's thick, we say that the shear is not 3x3 tefachim, but rather the shear is 3x3 etzbois. Continues the Gemara, Vaboyishi Vasamamonim, in order to clean, Rashi says this is a kasha on our Mishnah. You're telling me that he has to go into the Azora and clean off the dum on the beged. But in order to do that, he has to have the 7 Samamonim. And Rashi tells us that the 7 Samamonim we find the Gemara needed of Samach Aleph Amid Beis concerning the removal of kisamim, of dam. In order to remove them, one needs the 7 samamonim, which Rashi lists. However, the Shita tells us that one of the items that Rashi brings down is incorrect, and we have to substitute it with another. So Rashi brings down oihel. The Shita takes that out and substitutes it with mei greisin. What are the 7 detergents that are used to remove kisamim? So the first one, and it has to be done, as we'll see on Amid Beis, it has to be done in the precise order as the Mishnah enumerates there in Nida, and they are first roik tuffel, which is a tasteless saliva, which means that the saliva of a person before he tasted anything in the morning, The second item, which the Shita substituted in Rashi, is meg reason, which are a chewed bean paste. The third item is mei raglayim, urine. The fourth item is a mineral nasar. The fifth item is a herb boris. The sixth item is kumunya, which we don't know exactly what kind of a detergent. It's a type of detergent. And the seventh item, the final item, is ashlag, which is found, a substance found in the crevices of ocean pearls. So the Gemara is asking a very simple question. Well, boy, shiva samamon. And how do we know it needs shiva samamon dom? Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Ravua, dam chatas, when dam chatas splattered on a baguette. Or maris negoyim, where the Torah tells us, as Rashi brings down the second last line of the Amud, v'chipsu es asher boy hanega. There's a halacha by maris negoyim of begodim that the negoyim have to be removed from the beged with the shiva samamonim. Both of these items tells us, Rav Nachman, in the name of Rabbi Ravua, tzrichim shiva samamonim. V'tanya, we learned in a brisa concerning pitam akatoiris, where one of the items there is tziporen, and the brisa says that really it would be very good for the tziporen that it should be soaked in mei raglayim. Why don't we do that? Ella she'ein machnis mei raglayim lemigdish. You're not allowed to bring in urine mei raglayim to the migdish. So how are you telling me that you're supposed to wash the beged and clean it with the shiva samamonim in the makom kadosh, but one of the items is urine and mei raglayim you're not allowed to bring into the makom kadosh? Tosfos in the bottom Tosfos brings Rashi, who says that this is a kasha on our Mishnah, and Tosfos wonders, if it's a kasha on the Mishnah, why did Resh Lakish, why did the Rabbi Adar Bar Ava wait till here? The Gemara, the first thing of our Gemara, before it asked the question on Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis of Kairoi Beged Am Rachman of Alav Begedu, before that, the Gemara should have asked that's a question on the second part of the Mishnah, when it became Tomei to Beged. We should have asked the question on the first phrase of the Mishnah. Beged, Shiyotza, Chutzu, Koyim, Nichnasu, Mechapsu, B'makam Kadesh. On that, right away, Rav Adar Bar Ava should have asked his question. How could you wash it B'makam Kadesh if it has Mei Raglayim, which you can't bring into a Makam Kadesh? So therefore, Taisa says that this Kasha is not on our Mishnah. This Kasha is on Resh Lakish, because Resh Lakish, in the middle of our Amid, brought in the Indian of a Me'il, which definitely, if the Chatas splattered on it, has to be cleaned only with the Shiva Samamon, as we see from what Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Ravua. However, on our Mishnah, it's not Shver, says Tosfos, because our Mishnah says Beged. Beged could be even a Beged of a Hedged, not a Beged of the Koyin. And therefore, for a beged of a hedged, Tosfos brings proof that Safoin, a detergent which is not one of these seven detergents, is sufficient. You don't need all seven detergents. You don't need them all in the specific order as they're listed in the Mishnah there in Nida, one after the other, in that order to remove the ksamim or the damchatas or the maris nagoyim. Here, Safoin is sufficient. So it wouldn't have been a kasha. The only problem that Tosfos remains with a tzarchin is, why did Rav Adar Bar Ava ask his question on Resh Lakish? He could have asked it directly on Rav Nachman in the name of Rabbi Bar Avua. Rav Nachman in the name of Rabbi Bar Avua says that dam chatas need shiva samamonim. So he could have asked, you have to do that in the Makom Kadosh. You can't bring in the shiva samamonim because one of the shiva samamonim is mei raglayim, which you're not allowed to bring. Tosfos blies by tzarchiyin. But we have here Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, whether this kasha is on the Mishnah or whether it's only on Resh Lakish, who mentions specifically a me'il, and on a me'il, which is a beged kadosh, there in Echanami, you need the shiva samamonim. What is the answer to this kasha? Let us turn to Daf Tzadik Hamid Beis V'chitem, and if you're going to try to give me an answer, the Mivluhu Bahadei Shiva Samamonim, that he mixes together the Mei Raglayim with the Shiva Samamonim. And maybe there's only an issue to bring in the Mei Raglayim if it's by itself, but if it is blended together with the other six Samamonim together, And then he applies all seven simultaneously at the same time. That can't be. But Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah in Nida, that Samach Beis Omed Aleph, Havir and Shalika Sidran. If he did not stick to the precise order, as we mentioned before, starting with the first one, Roik Tuffel, and then May Greeson, and then May Reglaim, etc., he didn't go in that Seder. Oi, or Shehavir Shivasan Ke'echot, or he applied all seven at one time, Lo Yasav Leklum, he's not able to remove the Kesem. He's not able to remove the Dam Chattas that is splattered. So he has to do it one after the other, not together. So the Meir Glaim is being brought in separate, not part of a blend. V'chitem, if you're going to try to give me another teretz, the Mivlu Bahari Chad Mesamimonim. He will take it, for example, he'll mix the Meir Glaim with the next one, with Neser, the mineral. So he's keeping the order. He's not doing it with all seven together. Maybe when it says that you can't do it, it only refers to all seven together. Here I'm not doing it with seven, I'm just doing it with one other one. On that, I have a kasha also. V'atzorach l'chaske sholish pam b'chol lech v'yechad. We learned over there in Masechta Nida that the stain has to be scrubbed three times by each and every one of the seven samimanim. So from that, it would definitely indicate that you're doing each one separately. You're doing the Meir Glaim separately. You're not blending the Meir Glaim with another of the detergents to say that then there's no issur to bring a Meir Glaim when it's blended into the Makom Kaddish. No, it's there by itself. We learned that tzarich lechaske sholosh pam b'chol lech v'echad tnan. That's what we learned there in the Mishnah. Ella, the Gemara answers, the mivla luba reik tafel, ein echanami. He's not doing it with any of the other samanim. He's doing it specifically with one of the detergents, and that is the tasteless saliva. Amar Rish Lakish, reik tafel, tzarich yehei im kol lech v'echad. The other six are by themselves, but they have to have with them one other of the samanim, one specific one, and that is the first one, which is the Reik Tuffel. So Einechanami, here he brought in the Meir Glaim. He didn't mix it with anything else but the Reik Tuffel. But since it's mixed with the Reik Tuffel, it's not by itself, and then there's no Isser to bring it blended with the Reik Tuffel, the taste of saliva, into the Makom Kadosh. Begins the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is referring to the halacha of a pot in which was cooked the chatos. So the halacha is that we have to purge this pot. So the Mishnah says, Echad shebishel boy, whether you cook the chatos in the pot. The echad she'ira l'toycha reseh, or you cook the chatos, for example, in a different pot, and then the broth of that chatos you poured when it was heated. In other words, you cooked it in a kli rishon, and now you have an iri kli rishon, and you put it into a kli sheni. The echad she'ira l'toycha reseh, you poured into the kli sheni an iri from a hot broth. In both cases, you have to do mariku shtifa to the pot. And it makes no difference. Echot kachim hakadoshim, echot kachim kalv. It doesn't matter whether it's chatos or any other of the kadosh hakadoshim, or kachim kalv. Teunin, marika ushtifa. However, Reb Shimon says, kachim kalv ain't tun mariku shtifa. They do not require mariku shtifa. The Gemara will explain why Reb Shimon disagrees with the Tanakhama and holds that it does not require Marika Ushtifa. So, first of all, let us speak out a machloikis between Rashi in Chumash and the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, and also the Rambam in Hilchas Maaseh Karbanos Perichas Halacha Yudalid, where Rashi Shita is that this halacha, that we apply the din of Mariku Shtifa to Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim, is not only concerning a Kli Nechayshis, but Hu Adin Legabi the Halacha of Kli Cheres, that we have to break if we cook kachim in a klicheris, where the eitz of mriku shtifa to remove the blia that is in the walls of the kli nechayshes do not apply to a klicheris, because we have a rule that it is, we know by a klicheris she'ena yaitzim idei doifi of lo'olam, the blia that's in the klicheris will never go out forever. So the only eitz is to break it. So who adin, even though the Mishnah doesn't mention it, the Rashi sheet in Chumash is that the halacha of Shviras Klicheres will apply to Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim. It'll apply to Bishul Boy or Ira Lataycha. Whatever it says in our Mishnah concerning Mariku Shtifa will apply as well to breaking a Klicheres. However, the Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos and Hilchos Maaseh Korbanos disagrees, and he says it's only what it says in our Mishnah. It does not apply to Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres Yishavar will only be a halacha in Chattas. It will not be a halacha by other Kache Kachim or Kache Kalim. Rashi asks a question here on Reb Shimon. How can Reb Shimon say that it doesn't need Mariku Shtifa? Doesn't Reb Shimon agree that if you cook in a pot, there is nicer by Kachim Kalim, that the blia will go into the pot, and if the blia remains there more than 24 hours, or more than the whatever the shear of eating that korban is, 2 days and one night by a shlum, for example, but it'll be there for more than the time, it'll become nicer. Then if you cook with it, with other meat in that same pot, you'll have the nicer going into the next meat that is cooked there. So you have to kasher. I once heard from Rav Heinemann Shlita that he said, you know, people might have a thought in their minds that on Pesach, for example, I don't want to kasher, I want to have everything new. People have an attitude of looking down at kashering. He says that's how they existed in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. It was only with kashering in order to take out the blias that would become nicer, or that did become nicer. So how could Reb Shimon say that this din of Mariku Shtifa does not apply to Kachim Kalim? Answers Rashi that Mariku Shtifa is a special halacha. Of course Reb Shimon is moida that you have to purge, you have to do hagola on the kalim because of nicer. What Reb Shimon is saying that you don't have by Kachim Kalim the special halacha of Mariku Shtifa. What's the nafgimina? If Reb Shimon agrees you have to do purging anyway because of Neisser and the special halacha of Mariku Shtifa, so Rashi says that one of the differences, can you use wine, for example, or is it only water? If you're just trying to get the blea of the Neisser out, if that's the whole purpose of your purging, then you could even use wine. Masha'en Kane, if it's the special halacha that we find by Chatos of Mariku Shtifa, so the Lashon, as we mentioned from the Pasuk at the beginning of the Shir, Vayikravav, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, says, Uklina Chayshis Bishula, Ve'im Beklina Chayshis Bishala, Umoyrek Bishuta Vamoyim. There's a special halacha that this requires Mariku Shtifa. This is above and beyond the halacha of just getting rid of the nicer. There's a special din that it requires Mariku Shtifa only b'mayim, and yayin wouldn't help. So that this is Rashi's answer to the kasha. Reb Shimon's mitzvah that the regular purging of nicer is required, but of that even yayin could be used. He's not mitzvah that it needs Mariku Shtifa, which would only require mayim. Begins the Gemara, Tana Rabbanin, Asher Tivu Shal Boi. The Pasuk says that you have to do Mariku and Shtifa on anything that is cooked, any keli in which the chatos is cooked. Ainli Ela Shabishal Boi. I only know if it was cooked in it. Iru L'toycha Reisech. Now, how do I know that you have to do Mariku and Shtifa even if it was poured into it, an eerie from a kli rishon into this kli sheni minayin? How do you know that you have to do Mariku and Shtifa on that as well? Talmud loymar v'asher tevush al boi yishavar by a kli cheres. The din is, if it was cooked in the kli cheres, the only eitz is to break it. And Rashi explains that since it puts the word yishavar next to boi, it could have, the pasuk could have said im b'kli cheres tevush al yishavar without the word boi. since it put in the word boy and yeshaver, and it put the word yeshaver next to boy, it means that not only if it was cooked, but even if the blia winds up in the keli, even if it's not cooked in the keli, even though there was only an eerie from a kli rishon into the kli sheni, boy, it's in there. There's a blia yeshaver. The halacha is that you have to break it. Boy, Rabbi Baruch Chama had the following question. Tolly b'avratan r'mahu. What happens if he takes a chatas and he puts a spear, a shpud, through it, and it's in the air of the tanur, but it is not in on the wall. It's not touching the wall. So there's not any shal of bliya. The whole thing is that it was roasted in this earthenware tanur. So mahu, what is the halacha? Do we say abishul bilua? Who the kapit rachmana is the tarbadafke makbid that you have to have both things? You have to have cooking and the blia, which would only come if the item is sitting on the walls of the keli. Or dilma abishul bilaybili, or maybe the tar is makbid even on cooking without blia, and therefore it would be usur. Even if you had a chatas on a shpud, not touching the walls of the keli, and by a kli cheres, you would have to break it. Amar Rava Tashma, bring you a raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Echad shebishul boy v'echad she'ir l'toich ha'riseach. It makes no difference whether you cooked in it or whether you poured in it from a kli rishon into a kli sheni, something that's hot. So l'chayr, you see that you don't need both things. You see over there, you have b'liya without bishul. So the Gemara says, you bring me a raya from our Mishnah. Belua belai bishul like on boiled. I don't have a question if you have one which is blia without bishul, which is the case by kli eerie kli rishon into this kli sheni. I didn't have a bishul, but I have a blia into the walls of the keli. That I have. I don't have a shail on. Why? As Rashi explains, because since we have the inyan of nicer, if I'm not going to kasher the keli, there's going to be nicer through the blia. So of course I have to do. In the case of a kli nechayshis, I would have to do mariku shtifa to purge it. In the case of kli cheres, where it's eina yaitse mi daifne kli la'ilam, then the only eitz is to break it. So since I have the blia, of course, I don't need the bishul. The eri would also be sufficient to cause me to break the kli cheres. I have no shail on that. Ki kama boil on. I have the reverse shail. You're right. I don't need both things. I don't need bishul and eri. I don't need bishul and blia. Blia is enough through iri. But I have the opposite child. What happens if I have bishul without blia? Ki kama boilam, bishul b'lai b'lua. My, what's the halacha in the case of a shpud where the chatas is being cooked in, roasted in the oven without touching the walls? What is the halacha there? So before we go to the riot that the Gemara wants to bring, the Tosfos here, this long Tosfos, is one of the Makairas in Shas for the inyan of Iri Kli Rishon. And Tosfos brings down, we're not going to learn this whole long Tosfos, but just the beginning to get a tom of the Tosfos. Tosfos says, Mikan Medaktik Rabbeinu Tam, the Iri Kli Rishon, that pouring from a Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni has the same effect as cooking in a kli rishon. Why? Midachashav kibavushal. We see from our halacha that you need purging. You need marikut shtifa, but with a kli nechashas. You need breaking with a kli cheres because it has a blia of the kachim in the wall. And we see it makes no difference whether it was cooked there, kli rishon, or whether it was poured from a kli rishon into a kli sheni. It requires it. Because a kli sheni in many cases is not mevashal, but Rabbeinu Tam is proving from here that an iri from a kli rishon into a kli sheni is considered like bishul. But then Tosfos says v'nira d'ada rabba kasha mikan. I could have a problem. I could say iri kli rishon is not like a kli rishon because this is a big machlokes rishonim, and l'chayr could bring a raya from our gemara just the opposite. Why? Because we just learned the gemara. The gemara says d'akar le besamach belua beloy bishul. The Gemara says, I don't have a shaila of our Mishnah, which is a case of bliya without bishul. So we see clearly in the case of Iri that the Gemara is calling it bliya without bishul. It's not like bishul of a kli rishon. On that raya, Tosfos deflects it by saying, "Miu yesh loimer de chashv le belua beli bishul ufisha einay mizbashel machmas hakli de bekli acher nizbashel." It doesn't mean the Gemara doesn't mean that iri kli rishon is not considered bishul. Legabe all the halachas of hilchas Shabbos are kashrus. Avada iri kli rishon will have a din of kli rishon. The Gemara just means to say that I don't have a suffix when I have an iri kli rishon, even though there's no bishul in this very keli. It's not cooking in this keli. That I have no shah. That's what the Gemara means. This is the kli sheni. It's an iri from the kli rishon in which it was cooked. The Gemara is not saying it's not considered cooked. The Gemara is saying that iri is a case where you don't have cooking in the kli sheni because it originated from the kli rishon. This is how Tosfos deflects the raya, and then Tosfos brings many rayas back and forth for this inyan of iri kli rishon, whether it has a loch of kli rishon or not. And now let us bring the Gemara's raya tashima to our shaila: does bishul without belia, does that cause breaking a kli cheres in which we cooked a chatas without the chatas touching the walls? Tashima. Come in here. Domer of Nachman, Amar Rav Rav, what tanner shall migdash shall matachas hoya? The tanner in the migdash where they would cook a chatas. The Gemara thought that the only thing they used this tanner for was for a chatas on a shpud, without it touching the walls of the tanner. It was made out of metal. And why was it made out of metal? As Rashi explains, because if it would be made out of a klicheres, you'd always have to break it. It wouldn't be a practical thing. Every time you cooked a chatas in there, you'd have to break it. But the Gemara is asking, here's the raya. V'isal k'datach, bishul, beloi, balua, cooking without belia, and the shita in ois dalet takes out the next two words, loi kapit, and substitutes it with the word mutter. Isal k'datach, bishul, beloi, balua, mutter, if you're going to tell me that it's only bishul and balua, or balua without bishul, but bishul without balua is mutter, so never chacheres. Why was it made out of metal? Make it out of cheres, and you won't have to break the pot, you won't have to break the tanner, because it doesn't touch the walls of the kalim. So l'char you have arrived from here, that bishul without balua is a problem, it's usser, and that's why they had to make it out of matachas, so that they could kasher. They didn't make it out of cheres, or else they'd always have to break it. So the Gemara says, no, right, really could be that if it's bishul without balua in a kli cheres, it is mutter. So why didn't they make the oven in the Beis HaMikdash out of cheres and not mataches? But there's something else that was bishul and balua, not the chattas, kiven the ikashiori minachos, dafi yasin betaner, after you took the kmitza. You took 3 fingers worth of the menachas. Then the kohanim used to eat it. But they used to first bake it. And when they baked it, it was baked on the walls of the oven. And it had oil in it. And as Rashi explained, the oil caused that there should be bishul and belia. Ki even the ikka shiori mincha stuff, yosim betaner, are you baking in a taner? The ikka bishul ubilua through the oil. So therefore, avdin and shamatechas, then you'll have nicer in the walls of the keli, walls of the taner, because of the menachas. So they couldn't make it out of a cheres for that reason. Because they would have actual bishul and belia. Ein echanami, if they would have only bishul of the shpud of a chatas without it touching the walls, then they could have used the cheres. But since they're going to have here bishul and belua because of the shiori menachos, and they'd have to keep on breaking the tanner of cheres because of that, that's why they made it out of matechas. But ein echanami, if the whole problem would have been the chatas, since there would have been bishul without belia because it wasn't touching the walls, it was on a shpud, rotating in the air there of the tanner without touching the walls of the tanner, then ein echanami, we could say that bishul without belia would be mutter, would not require the shvira of the kli, the tanner that was made out of cheres.